next on Packers Today. Start fast, finish strong.
Under pressure and the sack by Matthews, the playmaker.
It's a mantra easier said than done. Larry and I will show you what's keyed the Packers' 3-0 start. Plus, the San Francisco 49ers are coming off a forgettable performance.
Kaepernick holding the ball, now throws one out to the near side. It's another interception and another pick six. Unbelievable.
Don't let a blowout loss to the Cardinals fool you. The 49ers are a physical team that presents more than a few challenges. And later,
for the amount of playing time J'Ron Elliott gets, he makes a remarkable number of plays.
J'Ron Elliott may have gone undrafted, but in Green Bay, he didn't go unnoticed. J'Ron's story and more next on Packers Today.
Both teams are a lot different than the last time we played them.
Each team will be ready to go. We want to start fast. 4-0 is a fast start. You got to come in here and play some good football.
It's got the makings to be a good football game.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. The Packers are undefeated. That is very fun to say.
Sounds
They're
good.
3-0 and headed to San Francisco.
And Lauren, if they go 4-0 in San Francisco, Mike McCarthy will finally officially recognize it as a fast start. I think it's pretty fast already.
That's right. Winning has definitely become a pattern. And another pattern we're noticing recently is Aaron Rodgers has been using hard counts to draw the defense offsides for a free play. In just three games, the Packers have drawn 8 offside penalties, resulting in 8 free plays.
The Green Bay Packers, one of the few teams that actually practiced the free play, and it's paying off.
It seems like they're all going to James Jones for a touchdown, but that's actually not really the case.
We had a lot of free plays this year, and they all ain't came to me. I think just the ones that we capitalized on for the touchdowns came to me, so everybody think he's throwing everyone to me now. But he's giving everybody an opportunity. I'm just glad we're able to make some plays when it come my way.
He's trying to get you off sides, but more than anything, I think he's trying to see what the defense is. You know, he's looking for a coverage or something. So you just got to try to time it up and not hear him if that could be done.
Aaron Rodgers' ability to process information, unparalleled, and the hard count is just part of it.
Well, another trend that we're seeing from the Packers is fast starts, and it's really been a continuation from last season. Check out these numbers. Green Bay has produced an NFL-leading 182 points in the first quarter alone since the start of 2014. The Packers also lead the league with 18.8 first-half points per game, and their 43 touchdowns in the first half since the start of last season. It also ranks at the top of the NFL.
Lauren, did you do all that math yourself?
You know, I did go to college, Larry.
Well, God bless you. It's too much for me. I got to focus on recent history. And all I know is against Seattle, the Packers jumped out to a 10-0 lead. Against Kansas City in the first quarter, the offense goes on 2 touchdown drives. And defensively, the Packers hold the Chiefs to 9 plays, 4 yards, and forced them to punt 3 times. That qualifies as a very fast start.
Taking a look at the defensive side of the ball, LaTroy Guyon is returning from a 3-game suspension. I think it's going to be really exciting to see him match up with B.J. Raji on the defensive line together because, you know, the two haven't really matched up because they've been missing each other due to injuries. What do you think Guyon has to offer for this team?
LaTroy is a big man and he knows what he's doing. But I think what's really cool, you can never fool the guys. The guys are all excited about having LaTroy rejoin them.
After week one in Chicago, the Packers admitting they need to tackle better in order to shore up the run defense. The last 2 weeks, Marshawn Lynch with only 41 yards on 15 touches, and they kept Jamal Charles at 11 carries for 49 yards. I'd say that's a job well done.
I would agree. And since you're the math major, didn't the Packers also have 7 sacks against the Chiefs?
Hey, I took a math class, but yes, that is correct.
Well, Clay Matthews had 2 of them, and I want to tell you, that man runs great stunts.
Here, he's going to team up with Bruce Gaston. It's Clay going first and Bruce looping behind in what's called an ET or end tackle stunt. The Chiefs want the zone or area block, which enables them to switch rushers. At least that's the plan until Clay gets so much penetration, neither Chief can block him, but the ball comes out quick.
It amazed me before I even got in the league. It amazes me now that I see him firsthand. You know, he's just one of those freakish players and a guy that you look up to and, you know, admire. You definitely got to give him his respect for how he plays this game.
Later, it's Clay and Julius Peppers running a TE. Once again, Matthews gets so much penetration, switching's impossible. As a matter of fact, blocking's impossible. And this time, the ball's not coming out quick.
The thinking when I first got here was I would go to one side and he would go to the other and make people try to protect both sides. But now it's like, why not go to the same side with him and try to put pressure with both of us on one side? So I think we may get to a little more of that.
Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews on the same side of the line of scrimmage, that is double trouble for any opponent.
And double trouble to dual threat QB Colin Kaepernick and his elusiveness. Now, that's something I'm sure the Packers are putting in extra work this week. What's the key to containing him? Because he's had three starts against the Packers, all three times, proving that he can use his arm or just run the ball.
Lauren, he still has the ability to make all the plays he's made against the Packers in the past. However, watching him on tape, I still see more athlete than quarterback. And when it comes to mastering the finer points of playing the position, I think that's still a work in progress for Kaepernick, and at times it shows.
When we come back, while the 49ers have the same quarterback, there have been a lot of other changes in San Francisco. Larry breaks them down in the scouting report coming up next. Plus,
right side intercepted by J'Ron Elliott. It's the biggest play of the game.
J'Ron Elliott has grabbed headlines the past couple of weeks, but that wasn't always the case. His story a little bit later. We'll be right back.
John Capers' defense has proved to be relentless. Last week, the Packers registered 7 sacks against the Chiefs. The Green and Gold have also registered a sack in 39 straight regular season games, which is currently the longest streak in the league. Those 256 sacks since 2009 is the third best in the NFL. One more number for you. 10.4% of all pass attempts against the Packers defense have resulted in a sack this season. That is the second best in the NFC. For a glimpse into what's in store for the Packers against San Francisco, Larry briefs us in this week's scouting report, presented by the Better Business Bureau.
McDermott snaps it. Lee puts it down. Dawson kicks it up, and it is good! And the 49ers are going to Carolina. They have defeated the Green Bay Packers for the second consecutive year in the postseason for the fourth time in 2 years.
If you've been hearing about past 49ers success against the Packers, stop listening. Since the last time the two teams met, a year and 9 months ago, San Fran has 13 new starters, not to mention a new head coach.
This is the 2015 Packers versus the 2015 49ers. Tendencies created is only 3 games so far.
Said games have shown Carlos Hyde to be the most challenging of the new faces. Third leading rusher in the league, averages almost 5 a pop, and at 235 pounds, he can make his own holes. Of course, the Packers now have 322 pounds worth of LaTroy Guyon available to plug them.
I feel good. Like I said, I've been working hard, doing all the things I need to do to get back out there.
The changing faces of the 49ers do not include quarterback Colin Kaepernick. While he is coming off a 4-interception game, he also ran the read option for a touchdown against Arizona.
Kaepernick plays, keeps the ball running outside left to the 10, Kaepernick to the 5, and Kaepernick walks in for the 49er touchdown.
The focus is just trying to be disciplined and do what you're supposed to do. In the heat of the game, sometimes that can get a little, it could be a gray area here and there that could take you out of your assignment. So we got to have everybody tuned in on what they're supposed to do and do that job.
Besides Kaepernick, other core 49ers who remain include wide receiver Anquan Boldin, tight end Vernon Davis, left tackle Joe Staley, and inside linebacker Navarro Bowman. All highly decorated and prideful veterans who just got humiliated to the tune of 47-7. Perhaps the biggest challenge facing the Packers is not individual talent, but an opponent in dire need of some collective self-redemption.
I know they're coming off a game where they feel they didn't play that well, so they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder in their home stadium and try to give us a knockout blow. So we got to go out there and we got to play well and come out with a victory.
And Larry, talking about self-redemption for these players, this is going to be a real fact coming into Sunday.
You bet it is, Lauren. Think about it. Football players are people first. And what do most of us do after a bad day at the office? We want to come back the next day like gangbusters and make it a good one. I think after that game in Arizona, there are about 53 49ers looking for self-redemption.
Okay, so they're going to be angry and hungry. But what kind of matchups do you think that we should specifically look for on Sunday?
Lauren, I think a big one is Packers tackling versus Carlos Hyde. Now, he is not a home run threat. His longest run this year, 18 yards. But his singles and doubles can be rather painful. If you don't hit him and wrap up on him, Carlos Hyde will embarrass you.
Coming up next, sometimes all it takes is someone to hold you accountable.
There's like no better feeling than playing for somebody, knowing that like they have your back and you can go out there and be successful.
Linebacker Jayrone Elliott talks about his recent success on defense and his inspiring story about an unconventional road to the NFL.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Green Bay is a testament to players who come from the first round in the draft all the way to undrafted free agents. But the Packers have one bottom line. If you can play, they'll find a spot for you.
In his second year with the Packers, Jayrone Elliott has gained the nickname Shakespeare from his teammates because he makes so many plays.
Intercepted by Jayrone Elliott!
A fitting nickname for the guy who made two game-changing plays against the Seattle Seahawks and followed that up with his first career sack against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh my goodness! Jayrone Elliott!
I kind of saw Jamaal Charles and De'Anthony Thomas in the backfield, and I knew something was up because they're not in there to block, so I kind of thought it was a screen or something. Alex Smith kind of just ran into my arms.
Opportunities didn't always just run into his arms. Elliott grew up in a rough part of Cleveland and slowly started to succumb to the difficult conditions he was raised in.
I was very immature as a youngster. I wasn't no bad kid. I wasn't into the streets and all like that, but I didn't really have nobody pushing me to do anything.
The push he needed would come from his high school football coach, Ted Ginn Sr., a man who cares more about the X's and O's of life than football.
Coach Ginn was always there for me. Like, he always made sure I was doing everything the right way and becoming a man.
Coach Ginn continued to mentor Jayrone, helping him realize his potential in the classroom and on the field. The result? A Division I scholarship.
It was bigger than football with him. He cared about you more than anything. All I could do is thank him for that.
Jayrone carried his newfound direction to the University of Toledo, where he played defensive end. His true ability went largely unnoticed until a position change to outside linebacker his senior year.
That was all thanks to the defense coordinator and his scheme. He kind of let me go out there and kind of mimic Clay Matthews a little bit. Those guys put me in great situations to be successful.
Despite putting up strong numbers his senior season and receiving All-MAC honors, Jayrone went undrafted.
It kind of hurt. I cried that day. The 7-round pass, and I didn't get drafted.
Signed by the Packers as a free agent in 2014, Jayrone admits he had a bit of an edge when he came to Green Bay, prepared to prove those who had passed on him they were wrong. His impressive performance on special teams and defense has solidified his spot on the roster. A hard-fought battle, but veterans say he's earned it.
He's the kind of guy you pull for because I think he does things the right way. I think he realized he had a great opportunity. He made the most of it.
It's great to see him develop. He does everything right in the meetings, on the field. He listens and takes coaching, so it's great to see him get rewarded for it.
Even though Jayrone entered the league through the back door as an undrafted free agent, he wouldn't change a thing.
In my mind right now, I'm not supposed to be here, so everything I get right now is just a bonus, and I just try to go out there and work hard and try to get these guys another ring because the fans here are crazy and they love it.
I asked Jayrone what sparked his recent success this season, and he told me it was just luck. But he followed that up with, he thinks the harder you work, the more luck you have. Do you believe that to be true?
Well, Lauren, what did the old coach say? Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. I think the old coach was right, as per usual.
And as you know, there are 17 players on this Packers 53-man roster that went undrafted, and more than a few of them have played significant roles this season.
Well, Lauren, you look at the defensive side of the ball. Cornerback Sam Shields, not only this season, but for a number of seasons, he's been one of the top corners in the league. Other side of the ball, well, Don Barkley comes to mind, and he's been the Packers' starting right tackle for the last couple weeks.
And a few others worth mentioning, Joe Thomas and Alonzo Harris. Now, I love watching undrafted free agents. I don't necessarily think that they're underdogs, but I think it's really exciting to watch them come out and really make sure they're remembered and making a name for themselves.
Well, I do kind of think they're underdogs considering the way they came up, and it is certainly fun watching them be successful. You look at Joe Thomas, in town one day, the next day he's the Packers' official dime linebacker, which enables Clay Matthews to rush the passer from the outside, and Joe Thomas made a few plays of his own on the inside. Alonzo Harris, very first carry in the National Football League. It goes for 16 yards. We'll take it.
And you just want to root for undrafted free agents. Now, talking in the locker room with some big-name veterans like Aaron Rodgers and Julius Peppers about Jayrone Elliott, they were basically saying they love watching him because he does things the right way.
I love watching him because he makes plays. And I used to think he was just an upfield rusher, speed guy. But when he made that sack against Kansas City, he went through two chief blockers. Kid's a terrific player.
Still to come in this week's Alumni Spotlight, Packer great Vonnie Holiday recalls his first encounter with the Minister of Defense, Reggie White. Thank you for joining us for Packers Today. We'll be right back.
I remember the first time walking into the stadium, I was getting the tour, and all of a sudden this big shadow appears in the same doorway, and I'm like, oh, excuse me. And they're like, this is Reggie White. I'm like, no, nice to meet you, Mr. White. He's like, don't call me Mr. White, I'm Reggie. Here's a guy who I watched play on Sundays for a long time and had a picture of him on my wall. I mean, I'm playing opposite one of the greatest players of all time. And so I never took it for granted. When I put my hand in the dirt, I had to bring it because I knew he was going to bring it because he's the Minister of Defense.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundraland and Larry Vonnie's most memorable game as a Packer. December 22nd, 2002. Does that date ring a bell?
Yes, it does. It was a cold, wintry day at Lambeau Field. The Packers are playing the Buffalo Bills, and Vonnie Holiday gets 5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles. Incredible performance.
And wrapping up, it is game day. Most recently, the 49ers have been the Packers' kryptonite. But I think the theme this season is the Packers are proving they will not be haunted by ghosts of their past.
And you know what, Lauren? This is a different 49er team than the one that gave the Packers problems several seasons in a row. many changes. We talked about them earlier. And this particular 49er team is not as good, quite frankly. 32nd in scoring, 31st in points allowed. The Packers are just a better football team.
I like that prediction. The Packers are just a better team. Be sure to check out Packers.com immediately following the game for live press conferences and post-game locker room reports. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Quick throw right side. He's got his man. Touchdown, Randall Cobb. Another touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers. Another touchdown for Randall Cobb.